Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 23.
Hey, what's up, people? This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back to Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers
to keep going. Steve, what were you doing 30 years ago today?
30 years ago today, I was standing at the altar marrying my wife.
Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
Thank
30
you.
Years. That's no small feat.
It is an impressive feat. She put up with me for 30 years.
What are we doing in my office on your anniversary?
Good question.
Well, your wife's working today.
She's working today.
So that's okay.
And tonight we are going to pack up, and tomorrow we leave for Jamaica.
Oh, I thought you were going to Iowa.
Yeah. That was what you suggested.
That's what you're telling people, right?
I did not take your suggestion.
All right. Good call. Jamaica sounds wonderful.
It does.
30 years. That's big one.
We went to Jamaica for our honeymoon.
Wow, it's like a revisit.
It is. We're going to see if they know us when we get off the plane.
Ben, probably not.
Probably not.
I hate to burst your bubble, but
we look the same. We look exactly the same.
Not a day over 40, Steve. You don't look a day over 40.
Thank you. Yeah, we're super excited.
That is awesome.
For a long time.
I bet, man. Yeah. Here we go. Summer travel starting, man.
Absolutely.
I love summer.
I do too.
So I took the doors off the Jeep on Saturday to officially, in my opinion, start summer. As soon as the doors come off, it's summer. And of course, the minute the doors came off, then my son was like, "Hey, Dad, you can teach me how to drive a stick?"
Oh, no.
I was like...
You let him drive your Jeep? You are a generous
soul. What am I supposed to say? Like, no, I don't want to teach you how to drive a stick?
Yeah, pretty much. So,
by the way, it's a 91 Jeep. It's got 190... Oh, yeah, it's got 190,000 miles on it. It's an old Jeep. It's fine. This is a great...
Are you sure it had doors in the first
place?
This
is a great car to learn on. So last night, we did lesson one. Went up to a little church near my house and got in our parking lot and tooled around. Lesson one was okay. And then today, I asked if he wanted to drive to work. So I went with him, but, you know, to drop him off, let him drive. So we're talking streets, stoplights, the whole nine yards. He actually did pretty well. I was impressed. I mean, first gear is still a little rough. He doesn't quite have that smooth transition. But,
way to go, Isaac.
But he did. He started once on an uphill
without
rolling into the car behind him.
That's good.
I thought that was huge. So, you know... Here we go. Now, what happens when he actually learns how? Like, will I let him take it?
No, absolutely not. It's just a skill he's going to need later in life so he can drive the pickup truck.
Thank you for reinforcing that.
Pick up the bricks to pave his patio. That's the only reason you're teaching him.
Yeah. So, yeah, but as summer starts, our schedule gets a little interesting because lots of travel.
We're going to be coming and going over the next few months. Both of us have a bunch of stuff, trips. After Jamaica, I have a conference with the youth group, and then... taking a team of young adults to Greece for 13 or 10 days. So, yeah, I'm going to be gone a lot.
Yeah, and when you get back, then I'm off to Peru with a bunch of our student ministry. And then I get back from that right into a trip to Myrtle Beach with the family. And so I think it's, August 20th before we'll even see each other again.
That's right.
So, Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Gotta take a break.
We're going to take about 6 weeks off after next week's episode. We have one last little episode next week. But we're going to take 6 weeks off, kind of just get some downtime.
What's amazing is once we finish today's episode and next week's episode, we will have done 24 regular episodes plus 26 Sherpa shorts plus the intro. That's stinking 51 episodes in 6 months.
Wow.
That's impressive.
No wonder I'm tired.
We need a break.
We need a nap. We need some downtime. I mean, hopefully we'll come back refreshed to the podcast, refreshed to what we're doing here.
We've got lots of ideas for the future.
Oh, yeah. We've already been talking about the fall. September 4th, we will be back. So mark your calendars.
Yep.
We won't disappear from social media, so we'll keep you informed. We'll be out there, but we're looking forward to being back kind of with some fresh vision and some freshness.
So we thought that today we'd talk about how to take care of ourselves because we're about to do that. It's summertime. We both have earned some time off. You've got a sabbatical coming up. I'm going away for my anniversary. And we just want to talk about how to take care of yourself so that you can survive a long time.
And you it's important to take care of yourself for your own health. I think it's important to take care of yourself because it makes you fresher for the task you've been given. And something we talk about over and over and over on this podcast, the longevity.
Right.
The ability to still be in the game when you're 25, 30 years down the road. You won't be if you don't take care of yourself.
We are not superhuman.
We are not. So we want to talk a little bit about that. And it's a little different. We did an episode not too long ago on boundaries.
Right.
On things you have to avoid.
Right.
To stay healthy. And this is sort of the flip side of that,
right? These are things we want to pursue to stay healthy.
Do, absolutely.
So we're going to talk about, we got a list here, and they're pretty obvious, honestly, but maybe because they're so obvious, we don't really practice them all that well.
Well, I also think that they are the things that get crowded out. They're the first thing that get cut when we get pinched for time, when we're pressured. These are the things that we know are important, but they're important to us. They're not important to the ministry. I mean, they are important to the ministry
right.
in the long haul, but they get cut. And so we've got to be more intentional.
So we're unapologetic about the things we're about to say.
You must do these things if you want to take care of yourself and stay in it for the long haul.
So the first one is we have to create downtime for ourselves.
For a lot of people, this looks like a day off.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have a day off, a consistent day off, a day that you carve every week for you, not ministry, not for you or for your family or for something outside of the ministry, then I say, shame on you.
Well, truthfully, if you do that, you're not following the pattern that God has delivered for us.
Correct.
Which is to take one of every 7 days off, the idea that you are breaking from work so that you can be physically, emotionally, spiritually restored. So it's built into the physical laws of the universe. But, you know, being prideful, haughty men that we are, we've broken those rules many times. And it always leads to bad things.
I think it's easy to believe that if I go 7 days, I'll get more done.
Right.
But I think that's not true.
I think it's true
if you take that day to rest, to do the things that you need to do to refresh, you'll get more done in the 6 days than you would in 7 days. And so you've got to create that downtime.
So we've referred to this a few times in different episodes, but when you take your day off, you have to take a day off. Like, you got to do the things that give you life, that are fun, that just allow you to kind of catch your breath a little bit and not be thinking about the job.
The job and the ministry. And that's why we have said many times to stay off your email and to unplug on that day off so that it actually is downtime. It actually is a day of rest.
And I think a good pattern just to consider is to take a day off a week, to take a full day away every month if you can, and go do something else. And then do the same every quarter, go overnight maybe. And then once a year, take a day, take a couple days off even, and just go do something that totally restores your soul.
Absolutely. So carve that time out. Now, the second thing we thought about in helping, and this kind of goes hand to glove with the first one,
Absolutely.
Is you need to get a hobby.
Definitely.
Find something that you love to do.
If your hobby is youth ministry, find a new hobby.
You need another hobby. It's a job. We love it. We wouldn't be in it if we didn't love it. But it's not a hobby.
No.
It's a calling. It's a ministry. It's a job. You need something that is just an absolute blast.
So
something that you love to do.
I used to have a lot of hobbies, and I think when I really got deep into youth ministry, the early years especially, I kind of lost my hobbies in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But and I've done fantasy baseball. I used to run a fantasy baseball league. I read a lot. I've done some hiking, like photography. But my new hobby is golfing, man.
You pick that hobby right up and getting after it.
I'm all in on this golfing thing.
Oh, man, you are hitting me up all the time. Like, hey, you want to go play? Hey, you want to go play?
You still got kitchen time. You're like, oh, I can't right now.
But I think that's super healthy. I think to get something and to... Because what I think I see in you, Steve, is I think you're putting the passion into your hobby that you put into your ministry.
Hopefully.
You know? And so when it's time to play, go play and do what makes you happy, even though I know golf sometimes doesn't make you happy.
Well,
because I've been around you when it didn't make you happy.
You know,
Yeah.
There was a club that left my hand the other day. I was imitating you.
Yeah, I set a bad example last time we played together. So, yeah, I think, you know, for a long time, running was my hobby, mm-hmm. you know. And it was one of those things where after a while, I noticed on the days that I was kind of got out and got my run in, I was more productive and I was better and I was fresher.
You were probably fresher the whole week.
But the days that I didn't, I just sort of it would get lethargic. And now I'm a little heavier now, a little older now. So running is no longer my hobby. Now I'm picking up more of like hiking.
Okay.
And golf as well. I do love golf. But to find some things that you just love to do that literally feed your soul and make you happy. I don't know other way to say that, to make you happy.
And have nothing to do with youth ministry.
Nothing to do with youth ministry.
Cool.
Get a hobby. We'd love to know jump on the Facebook page or the Instagram. Tell us what your hobby is. We'd love to know what your hobby is. Yeah. Are you a cross stitcher? Do you love to, I don't know, like a mountain bike, whatever it is.
All kinds of things, sure.
Yeah, I know our man Scott Uhlinger, he likes to get out there and hit the trails with the mountain bike. That sort of feeds his soul, and so he's got to be intentional of that.
Cool. We like the third one.
Oh, the third one is, I think, my favorite one on this list.
It might be my favorite, yeah.
Now and again,
you just have to.
You need to spoil yourself.
Absolutely.
We spend so much of our lives in this calling to youth ministry taking the short end of a pretty short stick,
mm-hmm.
often. Last ones to eat, camp food.
Oh, that's
so
true.
The worst bunk. I mean,
When I take students on trips, I'm always the last one in line to eat. And the problem is I'm a slow eater, so I never finish.
You never finish.
Why do I do that?
Yeah, and so, and I think oftentimes that builds a pattern in us that's just what we're supposed to do. But every now and again, you gotta just treat yourself. You gotta spoil yourself.
We both work in churches that are fairly affluent, and I realize this may be different in every context, but in our context, some people have a fair amount of money.
Oh.
And they travel quite a bit, and they have nice cars, and they do these things, and you know, there's that little side of me that's always like, grumble, because I'm jealous,
mm-hmm.
in essence, of what they have. And so I think it's a good idea just to sometimes just go
just
for
splurge.
It and do the special thing. So my wife and I are going to Jamaica. We're going to the all-inclusive couples resort. We are going to live it up for 8 nights.
Why not?
No excuses.
No excuses,
apologies.
No guilt.
No guilt whatsoever. She works like a dog. We feel like this is going to be great for us, so we're going to do it.
Yeah, why not? I know every now and again, and you've probably had the same thing in your church, and where people in the church want to give you something nice. Mm-hmm. They want to do something nice. So they let you use their beach house, or they say, hey, we've got a couple nights at this, you know, resort or whatever. Go and live it up. And I know for a long time, I'd feel
accepting.
Guilty. I'd have trouble accepting it. Not just, I knew they wanted to give it, but then when I was there, I'm just like, this is too nice. This isn't what I'm used to. And then you'd have trouble enjoying it. Now, I've gotten over that.
You have. In fact, you've been giving me free golf. You get these tournaments that people pay for and give you a foursome.
I know.
We have played
some nice courses.
Yes,
right.
We have.
And I didn't feel bad about that
at
all. A couple years ago, my family and I went up to New York City, and we contacted somebody who we knew had some connections and weren't looking for a handout. We were just looking for some recommendations. And next thing you know, we were staying in the presidential suite at the Westin in Times Square. 2,800 square foot hotel room.
Wow.
And
wow.
When we walked in, I felt bad. The minute we walked in for like 30 seconds, then I was like, let's go. It was good.
I got a perk one time. Somebody from our church owns a company, and they were a sponsor of the Nationals, the baseball team. And one of the perks was a trip to Chicago for a weekend to see two Cubs-Nats games, stay in the hotel, get all this special treatment with the broadcasters of the team and all this stuff. And he gave it to me.
What?
So, like, we're in the airport waiting to get on the plane, and all these company executives are standing around. They're all like, so what company are you with? I'm Mountain View.
The church.
I didn't say church. I just said Mountain View. It could have been anything.
They think it's some like refreshing water, you know, like high-end company.
Oh, it was fantastic. One of them was the rooftop game. We got to go to the rooftop party house, and we got to hang out with the broadcasters. It was a total blast. It was great.
Yeah, and so sometimes you just got to spoil yourself. We're heading off to DYM here in the fall,
yes,
the DYM 200, and we were looking at hotels, and yeah, they all look kind of nice. And then all of a sudden this idea came to us. What if instead of a hotel, what if, I mean, we're in Southern California.
Well, yeah, I like Airbnb and stuff like that. So,
but what if we rented a beach house instead and tried to get like 9 or 10 other guys to go in on it so it was affordable? And next thing you know, dude, we are staying in a sweet beach house. In fact, who was it that commented? Josh and Doug commented the other day.
Yes, they're going to come by.
They're going to come by because they really like the look of the property.
It looks
fantastic. I showed my wife the pictures the other day, and she's like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel a little bad. No, actually, I don't.
There's a fire pit on the beach in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. DYM cannot come fast enough.
So,
let's go.
So, yeah, we're going to spoil ourselves with that, and so are 10 other guys, too. So we're going to share the wealth.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. That kind of leads into the fourth one, which is you got to continue to grow and to learn and pursue ways to keep your knowledge coming in.
Fresh. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to stay in it a long time, things change so quickly. We got to stay on top of it. And so you got to, I mean, and reading books is great. I'm all for reading books. I know you love to read, Steve, and that's all fine. But I think you got to go to some conferences.
You do.
Not just for the knowledge you'll get, which is great, but also to meet some new people and to
connections,
some of your tribe, you know, get to know people in your tribe that are doing the same thing you're doing. They're facing the same challenges you're facing. And there's something about a conference that gives you that continuing education, but also just, I don't know, pumps you up like you can't even believe.
I'd been in my current position for 5 years, and Youth Specialties was coming to Pittsburgh. So it was a very doable trip. It was only 3 hours away. And my wife went with me. And I just remember sitting at that conference and being in tears because I felt like I was among my people.
Right.
And I hadn't been to one in a long time, and I was just taking it all in.
You didn't know any of them.
No, here's thousands of people who understand what I do and can relate to my life, and it was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was great.
Absolutely. So if your church does not provide some kind of continuing education funds for you to go to a conference, I would lobby hard for that.
Yeah.
I would go to your senior, I'd go to your board, whoever, whatever your process is, and just try to really sell them on the importance not only of the knowledge of you continuing that education, but also that encouragement to keep you in it for the long haul.
Yeah. It will pay itself back tenfold.
Get yourself some money. And then, related to the previous one, once you do have some money secured in your budget to go to a conference,
don't stay in your mother-in-law's basement.
No, get a hotel. And be picky and choosy which conferences and where you go.
Yes.
I know that early on when I was the youth pastor in Green Bay and I had some conference money, and I was like, all right, I want to go to this conference. And I looked, and there was one in Chicago, which was 3 hours away, drivable, right?
Yeah.
I had friends. I could probably stay with them in Chicago. And the other one was in San Jose, California.
That's
Can
a
you
tough
guess
choice.
Which conference I went to?
That's a tough
I
choice.
I spent more money because I had to fly then and I had to get the hotel. But it was totally worth it.
Absolutely.
I played golf out in San Jose. And, yeah, I mean, so use the opportunity, use the need for furthering education to also maybe every now and again spoil yourself.
Absolutely.
Get the bigger room.
Yeah. I mean,
get the hotel with the pool.
Get the 2,800 square foot penthouse apartment.
Well, I don't know about that. I did look at the rate of that room, and you should not do that unless it's.
Can't imagine
the rate that I paid, which is far less.
Now, there are limits to this. Don't get carried away. You know, we're not saying just blow your church's money. That's obviously not what we're saying. We're just saying that, by and large, we are often the ones willing to do with less. And that's good. But every now and then, take the chance.
Yeah.
Spoil yourself. It's worth it.
Absolutely.
So.
The fifth one.
Yeah.
We think you should go to another church sometimes. Not often, obviously.
Think about it. If you're at your church for 5 years, let's say, and you go to service every week, you get 2 weeks vacation. That's 50 weeks a year at the same church, 5 years. That's 250
Sundays
times that you've attended the same church. It's going to get old, people. It's going to get stale.
There's a grind. There's a monotony there. And
it has nothing to do with how great your church is or how much your church is struggling. There's just this sense of you need to see something else. You need to be part of something else every now and then just to open your eyes and give you a clear head.
Yeah, absolutely. So break the monotony and find a Sunday where you – and again, not a Sunday that you're on vacation. I mean, that's
right. That's
one thing. Sunday where you get coverage for whatever your responsibilities are. And you go somewhere else for your own health, for your own spiritual health, to hear something new, see something new. But even from a job perspective, to have a fresh perspective on how to do church, how to do ministry. Poke your head in on the student ministry if it makes you feel like you can justify that a little bit more. You know, take the guy out to lunch afterwards, and then or the gal out to lunch afterwards, and now it's research.
And take your family with you.
Absolutely.
They may get tired of hearing the same old thing, too. You know?
Absolutely.
Just like your students don't want to hear your voice every single week of every year, you don't need to hear the same voice, too.
Yep. So do it.
Absolutely.
And last one, a really important one, perhaps down the road, even a full episode, but wanted to talk about it a little bit here, is if you're going to take care of yourself and you're going to be in youth ministry for a long time and be healthy.
We think this is the number one thing that we have found personally in our lives.
You need to pursue friendships.
Yeah.
And that's not as easy as it sounds.
It's not.
I mean, here's a couple guys sitting in front of a microphone with better than 50 years of experience. And we're both currently struggling with this very topic.
Yeah.
Because so much of our lives is investing in people, students, leaders, parents, right?
Yeah, and in so many of those relationships, we are, whether we want to or not, or whether it's even intentional or not, we are playing a role. We are thought of as the pastor.
Right.
And that's great.
It's good.
And there's a time and a place for that, but there needs to be a place where we're not the pastor.
Where we're just
the friend.
Another person in a friendship.
Yeah, and we need to be able to have those conversations where we can say whatever we want to say,
right,
and vent and laugh and just be ourselves.
But to have that takes time.
It takes an investment of time,
which when we have so many other relationships that we have to, by description of our job, pour into and invest into, this is something I find in my life, this is the one thing that gets pushed aside. It's the first thing that gets pushed aside when I get crowded.
And part of the problem is that our schedules are often counterbalanced to everyone else's schedule. So everybody has their Saturdays or Sundays off.
They're living life
around the weekend. And our job is the weekend, by and large. And so it's hard to even find people available to be friends with sometimes.
Right.
Who
do I play golf with on Mondays?
Exactly.
Everybody's back at work.
Only a youth pastor. I remember in seminary, I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, the pastoral ministries prof said, pastors struggle with loneliness. And I remember thinking, that's ridiculous. I've had friends.
We're
Why would I not have friends?
Then.
And I realized 5, 7, 10 years into this, he was right. Even though I had lots of friends, I didn't feel like I had friendships. And I had to make a change, an intentional change, to pursue those friendships with people. And it made a big difference for me personally.
And I think practically, some of those friends are clearly going to be people within our church.
Sure.
Not necessarily our volunteers. They might be our volunteers because if we're good friends with somebody, they might then kind of want to come and do just because of the proximity of us in relationship to them. We see them often. We're all kind of on the same team. We're doing the same thing. But we've got to have some friends that don't go to our church.
I think so.
That are not a part of our ministry.
Yeah.
We need a place because even the best of friendship that we can have, and I have some dear, dear friends at my church that I consider friends outside of the fact that we're doing ministry together.
Right.
But even in the best of those, we still go to the same church and I play a role at that church. And there's just something about that. To have a friend or a group of friends where when I walk in, what I do, what my job is, what my position is irrelevant to what's about to happen. That is pure gold.
You know, I'm so blessed because I have some friends from high school. who my friendship with them precedes everything that I've done as a youth pastor. They don't know me as a pastor. They know me as the idiot from 11th grade who, you know, was heartbroken because the girl wouldn't go out with them a second time and got in trouble with his parents for doing stupid things. Like, they know that me, and they love me regardless.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of friends that we have to have.
Yeah. I'm still friends with my college roommate 20-some-odd years later.
I know that guy, which is crazy.
I know. You know that guy. It's a small world. We're going hiking in Yosemite this fall. Still. And there, when I'm with him, when Gene and I spend time with him and his wife, we're just people.
Yeah.
not church workers, not pastors. And we can talk about politics, and because I can never talk about politics with church people. You know, we can just, there's things we can talk about there. Right. And I can be honest about what I feel about how I'm doing in my job or how the ministry is doing. Because they do care. I mean, it's not like we don't talk about that, but we talk about it much differently because it's more of a...
It's about you.
It's about me, not about that. Mm. It's not about my performance. It's about, because I'm asking him how he's doing in his job, and he likes to tell me how he's doing.
Right.
So it's the same thing. So I'm not talking about how the ministry's doing. I'm talking about how I'm doing in ministry. Yeah. And what a difference.
That's life-giving, isn't it?
It absolutely is life-giving. So... You gotta, and the earlier you can do that, the better.
And you know what? It takes intentionality.
It does.
You have to schedule it because our lives are so filled with evenings and weekends that we look out at our calendar, my wife and I, and we make plans weeks out with other couples for the intention of building friendship.
Right. You gotta make it happen, because if you don't make it happen, it just won't happen.
So hopefully this podcast for you is also a demonstration of friendship, because Matthew and I have built a great friendship over the years. This podcast wouldn't exist if we weren't friends.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's kind of formed around youth ministry, but it's become much more than that.
Absolutely. It's life-giving to get together and do this.
So I hope it blesses you, and I hope this is a kind of an actionable point for you to pursue.
So as you kind of, you know, slosh your way through the summer months here, make sure you're doing it with some intentionality to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
To have some downtime, to pursue some friends, to get a hobby, to spoil yourself, go to another church and learn some things.
True. That's all good stuff, man.
Do that stuff.
If you do that stuff, then you'll be back in the fall ready for more youth ministry Sherpas, because you're still going to love youth ministry.
On September 4th when we come roaring back with the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
So we got one more episode before we break for summer. You can catch that next Tuesday. In the meantime, check out our Instagram account, Facebook. Shoot us an email. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know some of the things we might have missed about taking care of yourself. How do you do that in your life? We'd love to hear that.
Oh, we do. We absolutely love hearing from people. Our man Adam Russell just posted something on our Facebook page this morning, some Chick-fil-A video.
Right.
The leaving the 99 for the one. I laughed out loud. It was hilarious. So much appreciated. It was a laugh I needed this morning, Adam. So thanks for reaching out. And so we love hearing from everybody.
Well, until next week,
Sherpas out.